Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we're going to unlock the secrets of 1448, that event that's happening at Open Space in the last weekend of January. Questions swirl around. Is it a cult? Is it a sporting event? What the heck is it? To help us unravel that mystery, I am joined by two veterans of 1448. They are Deidre Dakota and Kathy McNeil. Welcome to both of you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
So, how would you describe 1448?
Madness. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it's, you know, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, even as a veteran, because you show up on Thursday night, we all get together, kind of pep rally, and that's the night when the topic is divulged to the writers.
Yeah.
And then they have to go home that night and write a play.
Full disclosure, I am one of those writers.
Yes. So just to give a little more background, so yes. 1448 is known as the fastest theater festival, the quickest theater festival.
Shortest?
The shortest theater festival. So, and then you have to do the math. So 14 is the number of plays to get done in two nights, seven on one night, seven the second night, and 48 is the number of hours that you have. So it's an adrenaline ride.
Oh, it's definitely an adrenaline yes. rush for sure.
Yes,
as
it is.
As an actor, you're coming in, you know nothing. The writers get sent home with a topic they have to write overnight, which is why I'll never be a writer because I couldn't stay up that late. And then the actors and the directors, there's a whole thing, and we have production people, amazing people who run around and find costumes.
And musicians.
And then the actors come in at about 9 on Friday, and then you're going to do a show at 7 and 9 that night, which means you're learning it, you're creating a character. And I should mention that names get picked out of a hat. So
yeah.
Just because I'm an older woman doesn't mean I'm playing an older woman. I might be playing a dog. I might be playing a guy. And that's part of the fun of it, is you play roles that you might never play anywhere else. And then after that adrenaline rush of Friday, you go home, you try to sleep, or if you're a writer, you're writing another 10-minute play.
New topic. Which is pulled out of a hat Friday night after the first show. So the audience sticks around after the first show, and they're part of that experience of picking that topic out of the hat again, and then they run out of there, the writers, and go start writing.
Yeah. And then you do it all again on Saturday night. And so you hope that the writers don't write a 10-minute monologue for one person.
Or a musical.
Or a musical.
With dancing.
That happens.
Choreography.
Well, the writers also get a list of characters or a number of characters that they can work with. And I believe, if I remember this correctly, they get the gender as well for the characters that they have.
Not necessarily. I don't know.
I mean, because when you're drawn from a hat, it's not, you know, it's not by gender.
Right. So the gender probably isn't there.
For two guys and
two women pull.
Yeah.
Right, they play guys. Yeah.
They're going to play guys.
So Maya Craw played a sperm donor in
Yes, that was one of my plays, actually.
One of the ones that you wrote.
I love that.
Right.
And it worked. Yeah. It worked just fine.
I played a man last year. That was tough. I have to say, for me, the hardest part about it, I am such a perfectionist when it comes to acting. Like, I'm one of those, went to theater school, the word is so important, that I just want to get everything perfect. And that is so not the point of 1440. Right. I mean, there's no way it's going to happen. And I almost like take the fun out of it for myself a little bit, because I'm so just trying to get everything right and perfect. And it's like, let it go, boo. There is no reason for you to be doing that.
Yeah. So Deidre, you bring up a good point. What is the point of 1448? Why do they do that? Why do any of you do that?
That's a really good question. Because every time I do it, when it's over, I'm say to myself, I'm not doing this again next year. I'm not kidding you. Before I go out on stage, I'm like, I'm not doing this again next year. What did I get myself into? Why am I doing this? Why am I torturing myself?
Yeah, see, and I say to myself, oh, I want to do this next year, because there's something about the fact that you have no time that gives you permission to screw up. Although, like Deidre, I am a perfectionist, and it drives me crazy if I don't have the lines perfect. On the other hand, you just have to go out and wing it. I love it for this, that sense of adrenaline, like, what the hell, we're going to do it now. And the sense of community, which is that all these actors, directors, writers, production people, we're all running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And the audience knows it. They're in on it. And so whatever you can pull off, you pull off, and you are forgiven. You know, you're not in a four-week rehearsal process.
Yeah.
So that I truly, truly love.
And the audience, I mean, we get really large audiences.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. You know, I've done a lot of theater on Vashon, and we get the biggest audiences at 1448.
Yeah.
Than any of the shows I've been in. And so that would be a good question for the audience as well. Like, why?
Why are you there?
Why are you there? And, you know, I think it really epitomizes everything about live theater. Everything, why you would even go to a Broadway show, you know. It really just epitomizes that. Meaning, live theater, even if you've been in rehearsal for 6 months, there's an unpredictability, and there's also that communion with the audience and the audience with the actor, that in 1448, it's so concentrated, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you could even stop and look at the audience or look at your fellow actor and go, I'm lost. You know, nobody knows the play. It's just been written, and, you know, you... More than, certainly not in film and television, because they'll just cut if you make a mistake.
Yeah.
But in theater that's well rehearsed, you go on. But in 1448, if somebody goes up on stage and you know what's supposed to be said next, then you can go, I think you were going to ask me about, and you just go on. For me, it's doing the actor's nightmare on stage, that idea that you're standing backstage and you forgot to look at the script and you don't have your costume on. And I mean, I have this dream all the time. And then there you go, and you're thinking, why didn't I work on this? Why didn't I do this? So it's an embodiment of that. And I remember being in fifth grade and being at the neighborhood playhouse, and we were doing the first two scenes from Peter Pan, and I was playing Peter Pan. And we get to the scene with the Lost Boys, and none of these kids say their lines. So I'm like, well, hey,
remember
Shorty,
how you...
You were going to ask, I mean, literally ad-libbing in fifth grade.
So 1448 takes you back to fifth grade.
It does.
It's about...
So and that's why, like, there's other people that are in our community. And I love that Kathy brought that point up, too. It is such a sense of community with everybody. I mean... Even the musicians are so a part of it. I mean, they are a major part of it, actually.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because they work with the director. I did a really funny play last year. And the musicians were... that their music, before us coming out, was really an integral part of that. Jazzed up for the scene.
I think I remember that too, because they also threw in some musical stings here and there throughout some of those plays.
We have live musicians on stage.
Yeah.
And that's really fun, as well as them being the interstitial, so that there's not a dead moment between the plays.
Yeah. So what about the directors? What experience have you had with directors? And can anybody sign up to be a director or to be an actor? Do you have to have had previous experience in that role?
I would ask somebody who does that, that question.
I mean, I remember last year, because I had rotator cuff surgery, so I knew I wasn't going to be thrown around on stage. I couldn't do it. But I said, I could be a director. And they said, well, you know, we have people who've directed more. So I've just passed on that. So
okay.
I think that, you know, I mean, the directors sort of in charge of the whole thing. So I think they mostly pick people who have
had directorial experience.
So, but I think what they're doing now is they are, like, there are people that have been directors and there are people that are directors and actors. And I think that they're kind of limiting the amount of years that you can do one medium, so to speak.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like a few years as a writer, and then maybe you're going to be director next year, you know? They're trying to kind of keep it fresh, I think, instead of the same directors every year, the same writers every year. Yeah. Acting is, I think the actor part of it is a little tougher because I'm not sure how many crazy people there are enough on this island that want to do that.
You do need a bigger pool of actors.
And you need a bigger pool. So they kind of let us all come back in every year unless we completely fall on our butts.
I forget what the rule is, if there's a rule about it, but I think there have to be a certain number of virgins or whatever they call the people who've done it for the first
rookies.
Time. Rookies versus veterans. So Dieter and I are veterans because we've done it before.
Right.
But part of keeping it fresh and surprising is throwing new people into the mix. So and whether they're rookies, I mean, they're not rookies like they've never done this before or directed or acted, but they're rookies to 1448.
How long has 1448 been going on Vashon?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I started doing it in 2019, and I'm sure it's been going on way longer than that.
Yeah, I think it was paused for the pandemic, and then
so 2019, and then it came back just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and I don't know whether it was continuous, but
so it sounds like it's a mix of scripting and improv. Everybody in every role, would that be accurate? Is like there's a certain amount of improv that has to happen.
Well, I think that just by nature of maybe messing up lines or kind of getting lost, some improv will happen. But I don't think that that's the intention. I think the intention is playing during the day and coming, you know, pushing and seeing what you come up with. And that's a process of probably more of that improv. But once we're there, you know, we're there, and there's no, like, I mean, improv is completely different. You know, improv, you go out and there's no script at all.
Okay.
There's a subject, a topic, and then you go on to the races. I do think probably that people that do a lot of improv do well in 1448 because they're used to that kind of scary, just going out, but flying by the seat of your...
They're less terrified.
Yeah.
You're handed, you know, if there are three of you in this play, the director assigns who plays what role. And I remember at one point with Janet McAlpin, we read different roles. So we spent about 20 minutes, like, who's going to do this?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Which worked out really well.
Yeah.
And then you've got to seize the character and just go with it. You don't have a lot of time for discovery. So if you're used to improv where you can try on a bunch
get into that, yeah,
that's fine. And you have to be open and big and just go with it because you don't have time to find the inner life and the history and who was your mother and what was the trauma.
So, what do I want? But, you know, all those questions that we normally ask.
Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left. What do you each get out of this experience? You do keep coming back despite the fact that you decide not to do it every time you do it.
I know.
What do you get out of it?
That's sort of a roller coaster thrill. And a chance to get in front of an audience and leap and the net will appear, or at least you hope it will. it's a risky thing in a safe environment, you know, so it's, it just gets me churned up. It really is an adrenaline rush.
Well, and I think your audience is there to support you in succeeding. How about you, Deidre? What do you get out of it?
I would say the adrenaline rush of it. For sure. And, you know, it's like a challenge, right? And then accomplishing that is you come out of there going, I did it. And I lived to tell, you know.
and can I really learn lines this fast?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll speak for myself, but like that's getting harder as I get older, learning lines. So the fact that I can actually do it, you know, it keeps that part of my brain
I'm sure the adrenaline serves that too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I'm talking with Kathy McNeil and Deidre Dakota about 1448. Let's give folks the facts. When is it happening? And I guess you have to spend all weekend at Open Space for Arts and Community.
Yes.
You all, yeah, you Thursday, get your assignments.
Thursday
and,
night. So it is that Friday, which is
January 31st.
January 31st and Saturday, February 1st. And the shows are at 7 and 9.
Okay.
Come. And it's worth it to come both nights and just see
yeah,
crazy.
And that's the cool thing. You yeah. can go both nights because you're going to get two completely separate performances. Okay. So that's fun as an audience.
Yeah. 14 different plays. Mm-hmm.
And the plays are only 10 minutes. So we should say you're not sitting there for hours and hours.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's an important point. Thank you both so much for joining me here on A Vashon Minute and for doing 1448. I'm Susan McCabe, and I want to thank you all for listening. Please stay tuned to the Voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.